reading to you from the 12th chapter of Luke, and with the 8th verse. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and my stars, everything changed. I tell you, friends, it was a surprise in my life. See, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and I don't think there's anything more foolish than an alcoholic. Well, listen, friends, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the Matthew, the 28th chapter. Let's begin reading with the 18th verse. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We've labeled this rediscovering the goal in gospel. Well, the word go, that's the first two letters of the gospel word. We are to go with the gospel. Now, our text is the Great Commission. And it calls us to go. Now, most Christians do not go to others with the gospel. You know why? We've fallen into the corporate Christianity trap. We are so busy with schedules that we forget soul winning. Keeping the church solvent instead of keeping sinners out of hell. Friends, you know, I've been a Christian 55 years, and my stars, have I ever noticed a change? When I was saved in Seattle, Washington, the very first thing that pastor taught us, that we had an obligation to God. That obligation was that we were to present Christ to everybody that we have an opportunity to. Otherwise, we were to testify. Years and years ago, I was preaching a revival in a large church down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And it was a youth revival. We were on TV and radio, and we had a tremendous revival. And I remember the pastor, his name was Cecil also. He said, "Cecil, when you get time, I want you to come into my study, I'd like to talk with you." So I went in and I sat down, and he said, "Cecil, I'm older than you, and I've been preaching for a long, long time. But I want to give you some advice." I said, "Okay." He said, "Wherever you get an opportunity and whenever you get an opportunity, tell men and women how you met Jesus. Otherwise, testify." And I have done that all these years. And I say he's in heaven now. And I thank God for Dr. Randall's advice to me. And that's my advice to you. If you're a born-again believer, then you need to be telling others how you met Christ. You know, nowadays we're into, we got so many things to, We've got to do so many more important things. Beloved, there is nothing in this world more important for a Christian than to go and share the gospel. Nothing. Will I have to make a living? God knows that. I want to be famous. Well, God also knows that, but that's not important. You know, famous people, I know famous people, movie stars, and I know famous people in the government, and a lot of them are miserable. Miserable, miserable. What are they contributing to this world that we live in? The world, our America is on the road to hell. America is on. And you know what? We were talking the other day at my luncheon with my pastor, with this pastor and this layman, and we decided that the most important thing that we'll ever do in this lifetime is going out and trying to see that people hear the gospel of Christ. Well, why don't Christians go? Well, I'll tell you one thing. We have wrong priorities. Socializing, parties, sports, dinners. And you know what, dear friends, it's a shame. I love sports. Oh, I certainly do. I love my Bronco football team and my Nugget basketball team and my Avalanche hockey team. But I'm not going to miss going to prison and preach the gospel or go to the rescue mission to go to a game. That's not important. But that's going on. We have self-improvement places to go. Seminars. Good things may crowd out the most important things of our life. Now, the thing is, the Great Commission rates low on our list. Apathy. No real interest in winning souls or need of others. Fear. What will I say if I go? What will others say? How will they react? I don't feel qualified. Well, I got news for you, beloved. There is nobody in the world less qualified than Cecil Moe was when I joined that church in Seattle, Washington. But my pastor was a man of God, and he saw that every one of us had a talent. Every born-again believer has one talent. And the reason you only have one and not two, three, or four, because you won't use the ones you have. You won't develop that one that he has given you. You know, I know a man that used to just love to mow the lawn in the church. He felt that was his calling. Well, and he did a good job, and that church was so pretty around there, flowers and things. And you say, well, that's nothing. Oh, yes, it was. God's house should look as pretty as we can make it. Now we know some churches, and especially in the South, where they have rugs about an inch and a half thick. That's an exaggeration. And they have those real soft pews that you sit in. Oh, they're so soft. And you get in and you're so relaxed. Whenever I went to church when Tom Baird, my pastor, was preaching, I walked out of there feeling I've heard something. He challenged us. He urged us. He begged us. And not only that, but he led by example. He told soul-winning stories and would take each one of us out that wanted to go. Today, pastors don't do that. Fact of the matter is, I want to ask you a question. When is the last time your pastor was in your home and his wife and visited with you? Come out and say, how you doing, Jim, or how you doing, Pete? Think about it. Our pastors are so busy going to seminars and meetings and eatings and singings and things like that. And now there's nothing, I'm not against singing, don't get me wrong. But sometimes our priorities are not that good. We put singing above preaching, and that's not good. Well, how to overcome these obstacles to going? Well, first of all, our priorities. Our Lord has set that example in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, There's people, you're surrounded by lost people. You can't go anywhere in one day that you don't bump into, I don't know how many lost people. And what is the worth of a soul today? Well, my Bible says in Matthew 16:26, what good would it be for man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? You mean your soul is worth more than the whole world? Absolutely. Absolutely it is, sure enough. And Jesus calls us to be fishers of men, and I read in Matthew 4:19, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." So what he's trying to say is, you're not born a soul winner. You have to work at it. You have to develop it. You know, I told you this story a long time ago where I went and pastored my first church, and I put an ad in the paper, a soul-winning Bible study in my church. I wasn't qualified to teach that, but I had led souls to Christ, and I knew that was a joy of every, should be the greatest joy a Christian ever experienced. You say, Cecil, look, I've been hearing that a lot from you. Well, that's right. You'll hear a lot more, because that's the truth. If you want to be a happy Christian, get out and start reaching people for Christ. Oh, my stars in the morning. You know, we have so much apathy. Soul winning demands urgency. You know why? The shortness of life. We think we're going to live it to be 1,000 years on this earth, but we won't. The imminency of Christ's return. Obedience demands commitments. And I read in 1 Samuel 15:22, "But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." Obedience. You know why we get baptized? In obedience of the command of our Lord and Savior, not to be saved, but because we have been saved. That's why you get baptized. It's a death, burial, resurrection. That's what it depicts. Well, do you have fear? Well, Christ promises to go with us. Verse 20, he says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He said, "I'll go with you. If you get out there, I'll go with you. I won't let you down." Well, what am I going to say? Well, I'll tell you what, one thing I can tell you this. First of all, if you've been born again, you can tell them how you met Jesus. You can also tell them about prayer and how important. You know, folks, Christians, we have the greatest tool in the world, and that's a tool of prayer. Anytime you have a need, you can bow your head and call upon the Lord, and you won't get no busy signal. He'll hear every prayer. Millions and millions and millions of people around the world are praying right now. He hears every one of them. And he's going to answer everyone. He may not answer it the way you and I want it. He might tell you to wait a little bit. But he will answer your prayer because you are important to him. You know, he created the earth and people because he wanted a family of his own. And Adam and Eve was his first. And then what happened to them? They made a terrible mistake. You know what they did? They doubted God. Devil told them, if you eat that fruit, you'll be as smart as God. God's been lying to you all these years. Well, she partook. She ate. She gave to her husband. And because of their sin, they were cast forth from the garden. And you and I have the Adamic nature in us today. Now listen. God will give us words and courage. You know, believe it or not, new converts often are the best soul winners. That's the truth. You know, years ago there was a revival over here in Oklahoma somewhere. I don't know where it was. And there was a guy there. He was, and I don't like to use this word, but he was a little slow. Big old kid. He got saved during this revival. And some smart aleck thought he'd be funny, so he gave this kid a great big old Bible that you put on the altar and said, here, you go out and win souls. Did you know that kid went out and everybody he'd see, he'd say, hey, can I read to you out of the Bible? They said that man led more people to Christ than the whole church. Oh, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. They didn't think he was too smart, but you remember when they criticized Peter and John, and them said, why, those men are ignorant and unlearned. But they said, you know what? They'd been with Jesus. I don't care how ignorant and unlearned you are, or how ugly you are. If you love Jesus, you are ready to go into the world and preach the gospel. And I don't mean that every man and woman that gets saved are called to preach, but we are called to witness. And we're called to do personal evangelism. Well, go and tell what Christ has done for you. Don't you remember out in the island of Gadara when Jesus, the disciples, went over there and they found this demoniac? They chained him up and they break the chains. And anyway, so Jesus cast the demons out of him. And so they went back down to the boat to get ready to leave. And Jesus turned around, and who was following them was that demoniac. Jesus said, where are you going? Oh, he said, Lord, I want to follow you. And he said, son, go back home and tell them what I did for you. You know, years and years and years ago, I was going to a church in Portland, Oregon, and I had never preached yet. And oh, I wanted to. God had called me, but anyway, I told the pastor, I said, would you care some Sunday if I would preach in the church? Well, no, Cecil, anytime you want to, you let me know. I said, well, I'm going to make some phone calls. So I got on the phone and I started calling people that I knew in Portland. I called my two brothers. I called my sister in California. And I knew if my sister would come to the meeting, my two brothers would come, but if she wasn't there, of course, they wouldn't show up. So make a long story short, I told the preacher this particular Sunday I wanted to speak. And then Wednesday, my sister called from California and told my brothers that she couldn't come because the two boys were sick. I was crushed. And I went down to the office of this evangelist friend of mine, and I said, well, I guess I made a mistake because my sister won't be here. And he said, Brother Mo, I want to ask you a personal question. Do you really believe that it's important that your sister be here? I said, it's the most important thing that we can do. Then he said, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go down in that old church. And I'd get down on my knees. And I'd pray. And I'd ask God to send your sister here. I not only got down on my knees, I got down on my face and I cried and I begged, and it was so cold in that old church that day. Excuse me, that Sunday morning, I was to speak. Did you know that just the church members were there? All these people I called, not one of them showed up. Not one. And so when we got ready to go into the preaching service and the song service, I was sitting by this evangelist friend of mine. He reached over and he patted my hand and he said, Cease, I know you're concerned about your loved ones and your friends. You did all you could do. Maybe the timing wasn't right. And I said, oh, Brother McCassin, the timing was right. While we were singing this great song, 123 members, friends, and family came into that church.
my sister, her husband, my two brothers, their wives, my brother-in-laws and my sister-in-laws. And then I turned to Brother Paul McCaskey and I said, I can't speak. I'm so scared. He was doing, he said, son, you get up there and you tell him what Jesus did for you. That's the reason you invited them here. And I remember, only remember one or two things I said. The first thing I said, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Did you know, friends, I gave an invitation, but no one came forward, not a soul. And I said, we'll sing one more verse of Just As I Am. And I said, and I'll turn it over to the pastor. And I did that. And the pastor got up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I've known Cecil Moe for quite some time. I know he loves you people. He prays for you every day and night. We're going to sing another invitation song. And we turned to softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. I don't know how many people came forward. The first one that came forward was a pastor's wife. She hugged my neck and she said, brother, you are going to see a miracle today. And I'm not looking for miracles because I am a miracle. I looked over and I saw my two brothers both weeping, my sister weeping. Oh, what a day I'll never forget as long as I live. Did you know, I don't think there's 10 of those 123 people who are alive today. I don't think there's that many left. But I remember what Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what I've been trying to do for 55 years. Because life is not that long. And then eternity. You say, Cecil, I'm young. I'm not very old. Why, people die young. Some of our boys overseas right now are 19 and 20-year-old kids. They're brave. They're fighting for the freedom of our country that we help fight for. Oh, how I thank the Lord for our Army, Navy, Marine soldiers, sailors. Well, where shall we go? Matthew or Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. We can go and organize visitation programs and something that you don't see anymore in churches. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, friends, if you want to build a church, if you're a young preacher or an old preacher, and you're listening to this broadcast tonight, I want you to know, if you don't visit, you won't have a church. You are abomination to the Lord. That's right. You need to get out and you need to train your people. Take them one by one and take them into homes and tell them how and show them how. That is if you know how yourself. And if you don't know how, you shouldn't be in the pulpit today. We can go to these who are hurting, hospitals and prisons, and I know two ladies in the Dalles, and I'm telling you, I'm so proud of them because they're going out in rest homes. Oh, they're old people. Sure, they're old people, but they got a soul, and someone's got to love them, someone's got to care, and they've been doing it, and they're winning people. Oh, I pray for them day and night. Because that's the most important thing that they'll ever do in this lifetime. Well, friends, what about you? Are you going out in the highways and the byways and winning them to Christ? If not, I urge you tonight, ask God to help you. Ask Him to forgive you for not doing what you ought to do. He'll help you. He'll lead you to where you can lead souls to Christ. Well, friends, if you don't know Jesus yourself, I want you to bow your head to me right now, and if you have a tugging at your heart, I want you to pray this powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me for Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, call 303-471-8534. I'd like to talk to you. Oh, friends, Jesus wants you to be a soul winner for Jesus. Won't you call? Friends, I'm so sorry time got away from me tonight. Oh, that's one of my favorite subjects. I would just rather lead a soul to Christ than anything in all the world. And I've done it for years, and I pray that God will give me just a little more time so I can win a few more. We love to go to prison, my wife and I, and the rescue missions. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of people saved over the years in the pens, and we've met them on the outside who are living productive lives. Well, friends, pray for us, pray for our health, and pray that God will give us souls for our hire. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real good.